The MTG Podcast is a virtual space for women and men in the tech and creative industries.
Tune in as we put it all on the table, sharing authentic life truths as we sustain and empower each other in search of our tribe.
We're more than a designer. We're more than our name badge. We're more than the work we produce.
Welcome to the More Than Graphics Podcast.
We're that tribe. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the More Than Graphics Podcast. This is really kind of unique, and I'm really excited about this episode, but I just kind of want to kick it off that February's theme of honor is where it's at right now. So if you haven't already listened to our previous bonus content that's on Clubhouse, check out that conversation because me and Priscilla kind of get down. Speaking of which, I'm Danielle.
I'm Cicely.
And I'm Priscilla.
Oh my gosh. Yay. It feels good to say that. Does everyone else feel that energy? So I'm super excited. We're talking about honor for February, and we have an amazing guest to kind of really deep dive and talk a little bit more about what that can look like. And I am really excited because this is all happening in the month of February. We talk about, you know, compartmental love. You're celebrating Single Awareness Day or Valentine's Day, wherever you are in the world, in the realm of love. I hope that you're taking the time to also love your damn self in the process. So without further ado, Cicely, you want to invite our guest?
Absolutely. So we are welcoming today Maribel Quezada-Smith. Maribel is a bilingual video and podcast producer, as well as a host and speaker with over 16 years of expertise developing meaningful content. Her TV credits include producing on shows for the Discovery family of networks, Netflix, Oxygen, and A&E, among others. She's currently a producer and co-host of the popular Pulso podcast. Maribel is the co-founder of BIPOC Podcast Creators, an organization devoted to amplifying the voices and stories of people of color. She regularly shares her expertise on topics like this around global stages. Today, she helps entrepreneurs, startups, and growing brands build deeper connections with their ideal customers through meaningful video and audio content. Bienvenida. Welcome, Maribel.
Oh, thank you so much. I love the bienvenida. Thank you. You're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Like, this is such a great way for us to kind of kick off this conversation about honor. I mean, so many of us do honoring things in different ways. We use that word interchangeably sometimes with self-care, which I think sometimes can be a little bit of a taboo conversation, obviously. But I would love to just kind of get to know a little bit more about you and how you are using this month, or even, you know, in general, how are you using ways, or what ways are you using to kind of honor yourself in this season right now?
Wow, that is such a good question, because I think in the last couple of weeks, I've been pondering that myself. And I've been really concerned with just the overall state of where I am as a woman in my process and in my moment in time, if that makes sense. I had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, and I think that as I approach the big 40 coming soon, getting very close to that, I'm having a lot of thoughts around that. Like, what am I doing to fulfill my purpose? What is really my purpose? Am I just doing things to honor other people, or am I doing things to honor myself? And that has been a really big question for me to tackle this year. That's one of my goals for 2023, is actually to ask myself why. Why am I doing this, and who is it for? And I want to make sure that I can do that more often, and I can be more honest with myself and honor my true self, my authenticity, and be real with what it is I actually want out of life, instead of just kind of going about things because it's what is expected of me.
Wow. I mean, I'm like shaping my nose. I'm a little sweaty. Sorry. I love the intentionality behind this response. Asking the question why, right? We hear this, and we just heard this recently in what Wakanda Forever, like when they talked about it's why, right? It's not how, it's why. And I love the fact that you continually question yourself in a curious way I feel like that connects a lot with kind of what Priscilla does in a lot of ways as well. Always curious, always asking questions. And I love the fact too that happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank
if we
you.
Didn't already like round of applause there. Happy belated birthday. I love the fact that you continually challenge. And I think that's a big lesson that many of us, especially women in tech and women creatives, can learn a lot from. Sometimes we get comfortable in the conformity of life. Mm-hmm. Right. And the fact that you continually still strive to like, but why? And let's try this and let's pivot and go a different direction. Those are such key like wisdom phrases for me that I'm taking away just from that little snippet. So I can only imagine what the rest of this conversation. Now you set the bar. You have set the bar. But I kind of want to, again, readdress that piece about honoring ourselves and really kind of getting back into this, I guess, routine. I don't know if we want to call it that, but I like that idea. It's like saying getting in a routine of honoring ourselves and what that can actually look like. So yeah, I'm just excited for what the rest of the conversation is going to entail. Feel free to ask questions, ladies.
I always struggle to get off mute. I'm so sorry. That's like, if you always see like my head moving, but me and Priscilla are like, where's me? That's what we're struggling. So happy belated birthday. You're an Aquarius. When was your birthday?
February 6th.
Mine was the first. So awesome. Yay.
Oh, nice.
February babies. Woo, I love it. And I love, so I was taking notes while you were talking and about like, you know, asking the why and like who you're honoring in this moment. So I know as women of color, especially, it can be very hard to take that time to honor yourself. So my question is just what advice or how did you find ways to honor yourself as a woman of color working in the media industry, working as an entrepreneur? How have you found ways to honor yourself in the past and to continue to honor yourself? And to, again, especially since we know a lot of women of color, we don't, you know, believe in rest and self-care, and we're very much busy taking care of everyone else except ourselves. How did you find that balance, or how did you take back that power for yourself?
I'm not sure that I have completely, to be honest with you. I think that I have spent the majority of my career so far honoring other people. And that's why I started this year with the intention to actually start asking myself why I'm doing things that I'm doing and who I'm doing them for. And that's the beginning of my step in honoring myself. Because in reality, I can be very honest and say that over the past 16 years, I have just worked really, really hard and possibly even overworked myself to the point where I've been incredibly exhausted, sometimes not spending enough time with family, things like that. And that has always been kind of like the reward in my industry. That's always been the standard in what we do. It's ironic that we in media spend a lot of time creating content around mental health and, you know, honoring ourselves and rest and taking care of our bodies and our health and what blah, 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 blah. But the same people that are creating the content that you're watching on, whether it's social media or a network, are completely overworked, tired, stressed, sometimes even on like thin ice with family or on the edge and on the brink of a meltdown. And that's really ironic. And that's just me being honest. Like, I know that I'm not the only one who has been in that position. And I know that I have friends who are still living that reality. When it comes to our industry, the media industry in general, there's just this expectation that you have to work all the time and that you always have to be available. And that if you say no to a project, especially if you're a woman, if you say no to a project, you will never work again, or you'll likely not work as often. And so I guess if I think about it that way, that's kind of what happened to me. When I stopped working in television as often, I saw a decline in people actually calling me and asking me to come on board for projects. And I had to stop working in television for a time because, one, we moved to a state where I wasn't really able to work on those shows anymore because they wanted people to live in the cities where they were producing. That was before the pandemic. So before the pandemic, you just couldn't really work remotely in television, at least not what I was doing. And so I kind of took a step back from that. And in taking a step back from that, I didn't get asked as often to join projects. And then here comes the pandemic and I get pregnant and I have a very difficult pregnancy. I'm pregnant with twins. And that in that pregnancy, I find out that I'm going to lose my baby girl when she's born. And so all of that took me down this path of like, okay, what's really important in life? What do I need to do to survive? Because back then, I don't know if y'all remember, but 3 years ago, we were in survival mode. And so that's what I started thinking about. And during that time was when I realized, well, this industry isn't honoring me, so I'm just going to have to honor myself somehow. I'm just going to have to figure it out and make my own path. Because at the end of the day, I've realized none of them care about me. They really don't. And so I created my business so that I could have the opportunity to continue to create meaningful content out there without having to be held to this like specific location or this specific hours. But, you know, also as a mom, like I didn't want to be held to the 9 to 5 or the, and I wouldn't even say 9 to 5, the 9 to 9, because that's very common in the production world. 12-hour days, 10-hour days, you know, that's a thing. For some people, it's 16-hour days. So I knew that I couldn't live that life anymore. And that part of my life just changed. And I had to open new avenues for myself. So I did that. You know, I created my business. I started making a name for myself as an independent creator, as a producer, as a writer, as a director. And it's been great to actually test my skills as an entrepreneur, but I also have to say that it's been very difficult. A lot of people paint it like it's easy, like you should just go do it yourself and you'll be fine and you've got this, girl. No, it is not that easy. It's actually super hard. I would say that it's way harder to have your own business than it is to work for somebody else. Now, the flexibility is awesome and the freedom is great, but a lot of it comes down to what you really want in life. And it's just not as easy as people make it out to seem. So I guess that was a really long answer to your question, but I just wanted to be honest and tell you that, no, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to know how it is that I'm going to honor myself and how it is that I'm going to live a more balanced and purposeful life.
Wow.
It was beautiful. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And I'm glad, like, we talk about this all the time, that none of us have anything figured out, right? Like, me, Danielle, we talk about this. Priscilla, we talk about this. That it's just so funny that, like, you know, we see these people and we see what's portrayed on social media. And we're like, oh, you know, gosh, they really have it together. And then, no, we're all in the same boat. We're all struggling. We're trying to find our way. So just thank you so much for the brutal honesty. And we appreciate it because we've been there. We're either there, been there, or kind of getting out of there just like you. So I love that you shared that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, it's that level of transparency. Like, it just, we don't get that enough in the world. We don't see that enough, especially for people that look like us. We don't get to see that. We don't get to hear that. I think it's extremely transparent of you to share so much of the struggle. That so many of us struggle with, that balance / regulation / ebb and flow of life. And kudos to you for understanding and realizing the point where you needed to go the other way, when you needed to put your foot down, recognizing that I'm not going to get mowed over again. I learned, right? If anything, ladies, you should know, but we're quick learners. So I love the fact that you did not necessarily go with the trend of what society continually tells us as women of color, which is we are a tool. We are not people sometimes. And we are sometimes a robot and we are not humane. And I feel like in a lot of ways, you just completely said, no, I have to honor, like you said, I have to honor myself. And I think that is something that a lot of women need to hear more of, especially in times right after the pandemic, where the surge of going back to work and being in the office and going back to the same-o is kind of going into this phase. So the fact that you're recognizing that and saying, no, I'm stopping, I'm putting brakes on this right now because I'm doing me. I feel like so many other women could really learn from that example. So thank you so much for sharing that.
But I have to say that I also, like, I can't say that I've been amazing at it. And I honestly would even say that I've had many doubts about my decisions over the last few months. I've been wrestling with whether or not this is all worth it. I've been wrestling with whether or not I am good enough in so many ways, especially as a mom, as my son gets older now. And I think that really has an effect. It's crazy, but I never realized how much the personal experience of your life has an effect with your business life or with your professional life. And now I'm really starting to see how important all of those things have to be working together. Like I'm starting to realize how important it is to have all of those things work well together. And I haven't been very good at being honest with myself sometimes about what it is that I really want. And I'm still struggling, like I said. I mean, it is really hard to sit back as a woman of color who does own her own business and works really freaking hard on a lot of this content that's out there. It's really hard to sit back and think, man, I could have probably already been up there with some of my colleagues that are getting Emmys. I could have probably already been up there, you know, nominated for something, and I'm not. And the truth is that you do start to compare yourself, especially when you work really hard and you feel like your work sometimes isn't recognized because you're smaller or because you're just not as known or you don't have the money that other folks do. So that comparison life is really freaking hard. And it's a really hard thing to outgrow. Like I said, I'm almost 40 years old and I'm still trying to figure out what it is that I truly want for myself and what it is that I want because society is telling me that I should want. Like, how do you even battle that? When you spend years of your life living under the umbrella of everyone else's expectations and what society thinks you should do and be with your life and what society thinks you should act like, and then all of a sudden they're telling you, oh, no, you can be whatever you want. It is now the time for women to just decide for themselves and do and act and be whatever and be free at the workplace and be free at home. And now all of a sudden now that's okay and it's being talked about. But when you spend 30 some years of your life living under this umbrella of, no, you have to be in this box, it is really hard to outgrow that. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to truly accept yourself for who you are when you've spent your whole life being told you're not good enough. And yeah. So I, in a way, I have to talk to the younger women out there, to the women who are coming after us in their careers or who are already maybe where we are in our careers but are younger than us. I have to say, like, I hope that you can understand that we are doing the best that we can. We millennial women are trying really hard to live up to those Gen Z expectations of being powerful, feminist, and independent women who are strong and who voice our opinions and who love ourselves for who we really are and as we are. We are trying really hard, but we are battling years of expectations and years of messaging that has told us that we are not good enough as we are.
Oh, I am really feeling a lot of this. And I was like, oh, mute. I was like, Cicely, I'm hitting the screen. No, it's actually on the keyboard. But I'm actually so much stuff that you've said. And I know the girls couldn't understand what I'm saying, that I relate to so much of you are. And I'm actually the older of you, to tell you. I'm mother hen coming in because I'm actually approaching the next decade, 50 soon, like in November. So a lot of the stuff that you're saying, it does even resonate now. So like I'm saying, like, I remember being and I feel like every decade we're going to say the same thing, but the importance scale kind of slides a little bit more, you know, like, so where I'm talking about, like, I look at some of the people, maybe not age-wise, that maybe they're, you know, had, or maybe people that even clients or people that I've worked with, when I say, wow, I see how successful we say like they are, but for me, I'm not that way. But we talked about this, I think, last time, the level of success for me means something different now. As I'm entering towards my 50s, it means different than when I was in my 40s. In my 40s, I was entering as a newly divorced mother of two. And now I'm, you know, where I am now. And so it's like, it's wonderful. I like that you brought up the age part, you know, you birthday, you know, but that's a different thing of how we, I think we honor ourselves differently, you know, as we age. And like I said, like, and then we also have those people that they find more success, hopefully, as they get older, you know, but it's like the wisdoms that we had from when we were younger. And I think that drive that we have, it helps us because like you said, you're, you know, you're now when we, especially when we start talking about entering motherhood, motherhood is something altogether differently. And then when you put that mompreneurs, is that really a word? I've heard people, I say it sometimes, whatever, but I mean, that's like a real powerhouse. You know, you think about like motherhood and owning your own business. I mean, cause our businesses are kind of like our babies and stuff. And so the stuff that you're saying, it's just so much resonation with me. But what I wanted to ask you was because I, something you had said earlier, I was thinking about like, for me, I know how creativity and curiosity has helped me outside of the profession. How has it helped you? I want to know, how has it helped you with dealing with maybe the, you know, like the motherhood part? Because, you know, we are talking about how we have that honoring. How do you honor yourself outside of work? And how does the, I mean, like what you do for a living, your creativity, your curiosity, how does that help you outside, like in your personal, is what I wanted to know.
Oh, I think in my personal life, my creativity and curiosity definitely have helped me. For example, I feel like I spend a lot of time playing with my son, just basic games that we make up. Like I'll just make up games, we'll do whatever. And I don't necessarily rely heavily on gadgets or devices. I, you know, I'm very much, I guess, traditional in that sense where I don't really like that. And so what we do when we play is we imagine things. We just hang out and have a good time. And a lot of it does come from my imagination. I think I tap into my younger self a lot when I'm playing with him. And it's fun. It's actually really cool because it reminds me of being younger. And that, in a way, it kind of keeps me feeling young to have that and to play, to be playful and have fun. And the creativity has been really cool because I used to think that my creativity was only for work, which is really interesting that you said that. You know, how do I use it in my personal life? Well, lately I've noticed that I've been applying my creativity to my personal life, like in little crafts and the things that I cook in the kitchen, recipes, crafts, things like that. Even wrapping presents a different way for Christmas this year. I made my own nativity set out of clay, like different things like that, that nobody would know about. And nobody really, I would never even put on social media because that is my thing. Like that's me. That's for me. It's for my family and it's for us and not for anybody else to care about. Not for me to show off. Not, you know what I mean? Like the, I think that's another thing that I've learned lately is that it's okay not to use every talent that I have in my professional life only. And it's okay to use some of those talents just for myself and for my family and to save some of those things for us, for only us. I think social media has made it very hard to remember that at times, especially, unfortunately, when you have to be on social media constantly because of work. And you sometimes are like, well, what else am I supposed to post? What else am I supposed to tell people about? You sometimes blur those lines. And I've learned recently that I don't really have to show everything. And I don't necessarily have to appease anybody. I can just do certain things for myself. And there are many things that I've been doing on my own creatively that have nothing to do with my work or wanting to make money or a side hustle or anything. Just me, myself, and I.
Oh, I love that. Oh my goodness, chills. Because I, yes, I so relate to this. There's so many things that I love to craft. And I do it a lot. And sometimes I do it, you know, for, sometimes I do it for the TikTok. Sometimes I do it for myself. Most of the time, and I think that's the lesson that I also learned over the years, is to scale back and to just savor the moment in the moment. Savor the moment, not savor moments to repost later. That is something that I have really taken a step back from and just kind of do it because I want to do it because I'm in the zone, you know, in that moment. I love this so much. And I really, really empathize with the, I want to say, like, kind of the little bit of that wall and understanding the difference between doing things for self and doing things out of obligation. And that is also something that I definitely have come to terms with and still coming to terms with in a lot of ways. I am a forever student. So this is something I'm continually learning about myself over time. And I also think I've had a really, maybe a more intimate time with myself and understanding the expectation that I have for myself in regards to overshare. Right. Especially for people who are over communicators. If you're out there in the world, hi, I'm Danielle. I'm in that club. I'm the overshare. So I am the person that always is like, I don't mean to like talk for extra 5 minutes, but it just kind of naturally comes out. My mom refers to it as my granny's inner voice. It's just one of those situations where I understand. And when I do that, it's not because it's not out of nervousness. It's actually out of comfortness. It's because I feel very comfortable. So it's one of those things where I love the fact that you address that. You address the fact that, you know, hey, we all have our quirks. We all have our thing. And I like the fact, too, that you can still honor that piece of yourself, but without having to publish it and post it everywhere. So I really took deep value from that. Thank you for sharing. Okay, Priscilla. Oh, Cicely, go. That was funny.
Remember, it's like it's the war to figure out who can find mute first. And I was typing. But no, I love that. That stood out to me as well. That like it's so funny how it's like, again, it's like that societal unlearning. Like we learn all these things, or excuse me, we have all these natural talents, and then we compound those natural talents with degrees and then things we learn in our life. And you're right. That's not all, you know, that's not a joke. It's not for the streets. It's for us. It's for at home. We're not sharing all this with everybody. And I love that because we're the generation, like millennials are the generation that truly developed social media. Like we are the ones of, I mean, real world kind of started with Gen X, but then like, you know, it bled on into like Flavor of Love and everything else that came out of, you know, us being millennials and MySpace and having online blogs. Like, no, keep some of that shit to yourself. Keep some, we got to reel it back in. We got to keep some of it to ourselves. But I love that you said that. And I think that especially when you work in media, when you're on social media, when you're a business owner and you share so much, it's like, you've got to figure out what your boundaries are. And I think that's so important, especially when you're talking about your family and kids, because there are some things to me that are just kind of off limits. And I know like there are people who make, you know, their whole social medias and YouTube around their families, which is great. But then I feel there's always those lines where people think that, well, because you showed me this, like now I need access to this. And I feel like that's happening with my girl, Jackie Ina. I absolutely love her. OG YouTuber. She's like been in the makeup game, my gosh, probably since we were 20. So me and Jackie are both 35, same age. So 15 years on YouTube, which is like a dinosaur, like, you know, compared in media, it's a dinosaur compared to like my son would be like, who's that? You know, how they've been on YouTube for 15 years. YouTube has been around for 15 years. He wouldn't even know that. But like, it's just crazy that like people see her share this content and where she's reached so much success, like probably, you know, making 6-7 figures now, but again, 15 years, it didn't happen overnight. And they're like, well, I need to know this, or I want to know where you live, or like, we need to see this. And, you know, she even said, she's like, I'm getting married. It'll be the second time she's getting married. And she's like, I'm marrying my husband. Nobody's going to know when. No one's going to see our wedding pictures. No one's going to see my dress. Like, these are the things for me. And I think especially, with influencers, and then with especially with women of color, like we've made our niche doing these things that people feel like they have access to us, or they deserve to like see that part of us. And it's especially crucial for us, especially Black History Month, that we've got to keep these things. We've got to keep these things to ourselves, and you've got to keep, you know, what's separate, what's for you. You got to keep that to yourself. And that really, it stood out to me. It was so beautiful that you said that, because I think especially people my age and a little bit younger, we have a lot of trouble keeping things to ourselves sometimes without really realizing that, like, it's not that we can't share it, but that you don't, everyone doesn't need to know everything, right? Like you said, you and your son, your nativity scene that you made, like, that's not for the world to see. That's for you and your family and your loved ones to enjoy. And I think it's just such a beautiful thing. But that was so, it was so, like, poignant to me. Like, it resonated really, really deeply because, you know, we ain't sharing all that on social media.
It's hard because you feel like you have to sometimes. Like, I don't know. It just, I think we're just so used to it that we feel like, oh yeah, I should share this and I should share that. And then you start to think and you're like, wait, am I doing this for other people or am I doing it for myself? And then you stop and you're like, did I even enjoy that thing that I did? Did I even enjoy that experience, that event? I barely remember it because I was so busy recording everything that I like don't even know how fast it went. I don't even realize what I did or if I actually enjoyed it. And that's hard. And you know what else is hard? And I don't know if y'all experience this, but it's hard when it comes to having kids too, because I feel like I'm really proud of my family and I love my son, obviously. And I like sharing certain moments that him and I have or that we have together. But I also don't want to like share a lot about him or a lot of him. So like I'll share here and there, but it'll mostly be like stories or things that are going to go away. The occasional photo here and there, but I don't know. I get weird about that because I also want to respect his privacy in a way. And I think that that's something that we need to honor. We need to also honor our own private lives. And that's something that I've kind of struggled with because I do have a lot of friends and family still that follow me on social media and they want to see that. So the cool thing is that Instagram has the, you know, close friends feature. So you can use that, I guess, for that purpose. But at the same time, like my brother told me many years ago, he was like, oh, but they still have your information forever. And they keep those photos and those videos in some drive somewhere or the cloud, whatever. It's, I don't know, I'm using the wrong terminology. But you know what I'm saying? Like it stays there forever. And that makes me nervous sometimes. It's like, it's like there's almost no good way to share anymore. There's no real privacy. I think we already know that anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like it's full circle kind of team H&M, by the way, just, yeah, if you know, you know. So I just feel like I'm all about the respecting of privacy, obviously. And I myself experienced that in the earlier years when my oldest kids were younger, when we did a YouTube channel for the holiday season. It was really aimed at just keeping our large family. My dad's one of 13. My mom's one of 10. It's whoa. And so everyone wants to stay in touch with each other. And so we created this little holiday channel while they were young, not while they were older. But now I look back on it, and I'm just like, you know, they were really into it. But when I go back and like, hey, guys, you guys remember that? And it was total blank mode. Yeah, mom. Yeah, you. Yeah, that was you. You know, and I'm just like, okay, cringe moment. And I look back on that now and I'm just kind of like, you know, if I could, you know, redo some of that, I would want them to have more, you know, they had a lot of creativity and a lot of personal say in what they wanted to do. If they didn't want to do something, I would, of course, not force that in any way, shape, or form. But I thought it was very interesting that, you know, for them, these are happy memories for me. But when they look back on it, it's kind of like, yeah, it was good. And the good's kind of really strung out. And I'm just like, okay, what did I, you know, where do I miss up? I don't want to recreate that. So I mean, obviously we don't do that anymore, but I think it's really interesting how the way that I remember it is not the same way that they feel it. And so it was a good lesson learned for me to kind of, I want to better respect that type of privacy for them. So if they choose to do something like that on their own, great. I'm a supporter. I'll be there with the B-roll footage, but I'm not going to push that agenda unless they choose to do it completely on their own. And it was that way when they were kids, but I feel like it was still a mom influence kind of feel. So it's still cute. You can go back and look at it. It's MSFam TV. There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me what it is. No, but you know, mine, you know, we have to talk, we got to catch up after the show to find out more about each other. But for me, it's like my children are on there, but it's based off of their creativity and I'm having them, they make that decision. But I was this talking about kids and stuff, and I was listening to you say earlier about your inner child thing, because my inner child is outer child. This never grew up. But I was wondering, like, you know, what is it that you wanted to be when you were growing up? And are you honoring your inner child now? I mean, and with what, you know, when you think about, like, I always like to say, like, what is it that you want to do when you're younger? And, you know, like, we think about how many of us are actually doing the stuff that we wanted to do when we were younger, or how is that related to, you know, you? And I guess I was wondering about that inner child that you talked about. Is she out here doing her thing?
That is a great question, because I don't believe that I really knew what I wanted to be or ever really thought about it when I was a kid, like a real kid before 12 years old, let's say. Before I was 12, 13, 14, I never thought about that. And to be frank with you, no one ever asked me that. It just wasn't something people asked, at least maybe not in my culture, not in Mexico, or maybe because I don't, maybe because I'm a girl. I have no idea why. So I never really thought about it. I do think that for a very long time, probably until I was almost 17 years old, because it wasn't until I was 17 years old that I decided that I wanted to go into media. But probably for a long time before then, all I really cared about was being seen. Like, I just wanted to be seen. I wanted people to know I was there, to know that I existed. I think my inner child would say that I often felt relegated, that I often felt invisible, that I didn't really feel like I was truly loved, which is really fucked up to say, because I had a pretty normal childhood. My parents were good parents. They worked hard to give us a good life. They were there for us, but they didn't give us that, like, warmth, love. It was a very strict childhood that I lived. It was a strict house. It was serious. And so I missed that in my life. And so what I did was I looked for it externally, and I spent a lot of time looking for validation in the wrong places. This is like the tale as old as time. I feel like so many people out there probably have the same story. Like, they didn't get the validation they needed when they were kids and at their house, so they looked for it somewhere else. And guess what? I just always looked for it in men. Definitely in guys. Wanted to get that love from the guy that I was dating, or from the guys that I was seeing, or from, and it's always the wrong ones, of course, especially when you're younger. So I think that for a long time, my inner child wanted to just be loved. It wasn't, what did I want to do? It was who did I want to be, and how did I want people to see me and value me? And then it wasn't until I was 17 that I took an aptitude test, one of those, like, what is your parachute color, or whatever it's called, things. And it told me that I would be really good at broadcasting or journalism or PR, something in communication, basically. And that's how I decided I was going down that route. I know it's not a sexy answer.
Oh, it's so sexy. It's so sexy. You talked about a parachute. Wow. Lovely. Thank you. I was thinking, I was starting right here. I'm like, she is me. Like, so many things that come out of your mouth, I'm like, let me double check. Oh, my goodness. I went into my DeLorean and hopped back up here.
Oh, my God. Oh, we're
gonna be friends. I always wanted one of those. My friend actually had a DeLorean, just so you know, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was so jealous. I was like, if only my parents were richer, I could have one by the time I'm 16. And then everyone around me was like, what's the DeLorean? Because no one then watched Back to the Future enough. So yeah, good times. I really enjoy this conversation, and I tell you why, because one, we're knocking out really good questions. I just want to say on the back end, the team is rocking today. They are asking all the things. But on the other side of this, I really want to, like, really deep dive into kind of the things that you are most known for in your niche, which is kind of creating that meaningful content. And so I did a little bit of homework and went to your website and kind of did a deep dive on a little bit of the things that you're most passionate about. And I love the topic of meaningful content, because that takes on a rainbow of different meanings and conversations. But I kind of want to know, like, deep down, can you share why it's so important for content creators to have meaningful content and how that can be a tool to honor themselves.
So I think for one reason, it's for connection. If you want to actually connect with people in a meaningful way, then you need meaningful content. You want to be able to give them something valuable, not just post for randomness or create content that is copied from someone else's ideas or carbon copying someone else's dance moves or whatever it is people do nowadays on TikTok and whatnot, right? Like I feel like that's become so rampant. It's just so easy to rip somebody else's ideas and post them as your own. And for me, meaningful content is original, it's unique, it's authentic. I know that that word has been used a lot and it's now kind of like, it's a buzzword, right? But it's true. I mean, authenticity is really important. Being true to your values and yourself and your beliefs, that's important in meaningful content as well. So it matters if you're trying to make connections that go beyond the superficial. And why it matters to brands to create meaningful content is because people are listening now. People are actually paying attention to what their favorite brands and artists and people and influencers or whatever are doing and saying and how they're actually putting their money where their mouth is, to use a, you know, cliche term. They're paying attention and they're saying, okay, brand X, show me how you actually care about me. Show me how you actually care about the issues that I want to know about or that I care about, that I champion. And so brands are starting to now get deeper into branded content and creating stuff that actually makes sense for their audience in a meaningful way, that actually connects with them and that brings them closer to the brand. So to me, that's why meaningful content is so important. It's not only feel good, it's also about like ROI. Let's just be honest. It's about dollars and cents. If you actually want return on investment on whatever production you're working on and however much you're investing into your content, then you need to be able to be creating something that resonates with people. If you're not creating something that resonates with people, then what are you doing? You're just wasting time and money. So for ROI reasons, obviously brands want to pay attention to that. They want to make sure that they connect at deeper levels. And I think that it's just easier to say, oh, no, that costs too much money. I'm just going to, you know, repost this thing and copy what this other influencer is doing or whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think it really pays off. And I actually did a case study for a whole year. I created content that was more original, that was more unique to me, that was more authentic to what I do. And I saw the return on investment in just like my branding in general, my connection with people and my connection that went beyond that into clients and professional relationships that then evolved into actual projects and dollars and cents.
Maddie Bell. My. The brain. This is why you need to hire her, y'all. I absolutely love that. And it's so spot on. Even as a person who is in similar industries, not exact by any means, I love that spoke directly to me. And I'm sure it spoke to several other people who are listening to this episode, because this is something that is very much a kind of pivoting and turning point right now in media. And I think all the advice that you have personally given around being honorable to yourself, but also honorable to the industry, right? I really appreciate that. That is true face value. And I take that to heart. So yeah, that spoke all my love languages. Thank you.
I'm happy that did that. And I think that honestly, I also want to make sure that I remind people that the work that we do in this industry, in media in general, really resonates and stays around, and it has an impact on a lot of real people, and it has a real life impact for many folks out there. So we need to be more, you know, we need to be more impactful, but also intentional in the work that we create. We need to truly put ourselves behind the content and be ethical as well in what we're creating, and not just performative, which is so much easier right? It's a lot easier to go into performative campaigns and just create what we think will be the cheapest, easiest solution instead of putting real thought behind something. And that's been my experience with some big brands that I worked with in the past. I've had to actually do a lot of work with them in helping them understand why it matters, why the process of creating meaningful content is so important. And it has paid off for them. It has paid off for many people. And I think that we need to continue to strive for that, but we also need to demand that from brands and from companies. Give us quality content and actually invest in our communities. Don't just dip your toes in it and say, oh, for this month of February, we're going to really hit it hard on Black History Month. No, like showcase it year round. And here's the one thing that I learned. So there's really easy to go performative, to create a campaign, for example, around Black History Month, which we often get this question from companies that we consult with. Oh, can you help us create some content for Black History Month? We were thinking about highlighting business owners. What? Do you know what Black History Month means? It is history. So what are you doing that has anything to do with history or legacy? Those are the things that you should be truly focused on. Why don't companies do that? Because it's hard work. Because it actually takes a lot of research and time and dedication and intentionality. And it's a lot easier to just grab a few business owners or a few artists that are Black and feature them during February. But that's not doing anything and it's not helping anybody. Instead, be intentional, focus on the history that month, which is what we're supposed to be celebrating, and then feature those people all around, all year round, without having to just narrow them to one month. For some reason, that has been still hard to explain.
I'm so glad that you did it, because I was like, woo, I'm over here going off like, yes, this is what needs to happen. And I feel like for a lot of businesses who are a little bit tone deaf to that situation, I really feel like it's important that they do the work. Not pay an X amount of company to do the work and then bring them the results, but actually get their hands and feet dirty in the work so that they better appreciate what they are doing that will encourage more of that deeper purpose to want to shine light on it. It's that association of hand in hand transaction and not hand to hand transaction. And I feel like that is where I have struggled the most as a person who owns a company, a Black person that owns a company, when they talk about wanting to make us a token moment for Black History Month. My cutoff for Black History Month, if you want to work with me for Black History Month, it cuts off in December. So if you want to work with me, you work with me early. And then we use January to kind of work and collaborate. And then February is that display of that work. If you message me on February 1st and said, I want to get with you on Black History Month, sorry, you passed the deadline. Sorry, you shall not pass Gandalf moment. So it's just kind of like, I take it very seriously when I see companies that truly invest in the development of brand collaboration. And that's really the beauty of being able to work in that type of industry, is understanding that, hey, you have a need and I have a need, but let's work together so that we both win. And it's not more of a showcase or a display of work. It's more of, no, we built bridges together. That's just my two cents. Sorry, rant. Rant over.
I love you saw me typing. I'm like, wait, there's good stuff in there. I love it. Oh my gosh. But yes, very much all of what you said. Like, I literally, like, I was taking notes the whole time, but like very much all of what you said. And I think being in media, being consumers and, you know, people who dabble and create content, like in, you know, even if you're doing it just for yourself, I think it's so very important to be intentional. And I really love that you said that, like, what we do, the work we do in media, it stays around and has a real impact on other people. And I think that we can see that, especially like me and Danielle have teenagers now. So we can see that, like, with teens, especially, like, how they're influenced by these things. I mean, of course we are too, to maybe a lesser extent than our impressionable teenage children, but we can really see that, like, you know, when someone does this dance on TikTok or when a celebrity's doing this thing that the kids and they're like really impacted by it and they really are engaged with that, right? So if you're going to share a message, make sure that you're being true to yourself and that you're realizing the impact that message is going to have on others. I think that was a beautiful way of putting that. And Danielle, I think it was, you said hand in hand versus hand to hand. I love that too. Like, I was taking notes, I was doing my little notes. But just everything you both have said, it was just so, just, I don't know, it resonated. Like, I love taking notes and listening and just absorbing like the little sponge that I am. So thank you both for the amazing, for the little tidbits, for the quotables that we have now going forward. But that, it's really good stuff. So thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Priscilla, you want to wrap up with some thoughts? And we're going to have to move straight into our questionnaire real quick because Cicely's got to go.
Oh, you want me to give some thoughts? We don't have time for the thoughts that I have. What I'm just saying is like this. She doesn't realize this is the first time that I've done a
four square.
I feel like we're in the, what is it, which one of these don't belong type of thing. No, the this is the first time I've done the interview. No, that's what it's called. Yeah. With just us three. So I'm used to just us having conversations. So having somebody else in the conversation and all the stuff that you're saying, I'm just like, like, you know, imagination, you're like SpongeBob and stuff like that. It's mind blowing right now. So I'm looking forward to, I'm watching Cicely type in all this stuff and I'm like, faster. So I'm just really excited and I'm looking forward to learning more about you and connecting with you afterwards and stuff. And like I said, I'm gonna be your friend. So just have an that right here.
I love it. That's fine.
I'm ready for us to get, because I did this, I was one of their interviewees a couple years ago. So this I'm excited about because the guest. The flash questionnaire. I am excited about this. So I want you guys to, let's get started. Let's do it.
Okay.
This is why we love Priscilla.
Yes, nonstop. But before we get into that, I want to make sure people have a way to find you. If they want to connect with you, if something of value really resonated with them in this conversation, how can they invest in you?
MaribelQS.com. That is my website and the easiest way to find me, find what I've been up to, what I'm doing, and, you know, send me a message or on social media at Maribel_QS.
I love it. And I love the fact too, her site is pretty. I have personally been to it. It is designer approved. It is gorgeous. I love all of the info on it. And I really hope that people really use it either to connect with you or invest in your services. This has been such an, I love it. It's been both informative, fun, educational. We've hit all the five stars right there. I just love the fact that we were able to do this together and collectively. And I love being able to share your personal stories, your strengths, and your transparency with us today. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You are amazing. Right. We're so glad.
Yeah, go for it, girl.
Okay, so sorry, my crazy cat. If you hear like a cat scratching in the background, don't worry. It's my cat tearing up my whole house. But anyways, we're going to jump right into it. So what you're going to do is you're just going to see the first thing that pops into your head. So kind of like, you don't have to think about it. I mean, whether it's good, bad, whatever. Remember, we're rated PG-13 R-ish. So you can say whatever pops into mind. So something you've learned in the past year, life lesson, hobby, fun fact, etc.
Love is hard.
Ooh, okay. Yes. Amen. Favorite vacation or getaway spot?
Mexico.
Okay. Sweet snacks or savory snacks?
Savory.
I like it. Harry Potter or Star Wars?
I'm neither, to be honest.
Okay. We've had a couple people. It's okay. Digital books or physical books?
Physical.
Okay. If you could go back in time, where would you go and whom would you see?
My grandmother.
Oh, I love it. Your love languages. So I guess like how you like love to be expressed to you.
Acts of service and words of affirmation.
I love that. And then last but not least, the best part of being a grown-up.
That you get to do whatever you want to, sort of.
Right, sort of, kind of. Yes. I love wonderful. That. Everyone's, that's pretty much the same answer we get for that question. Like, you know, we can pretty much do whatever we want. Eat, you know, all the candy you want in, at midnight in your pajamas, eat ice cream in bed, whatever. I love that.
Man, those were real, goodness. Like, of just came out of nowhere, by the way.
Yes. Those are the best ones. Those are the best answers.
You caught me off guard. I'm like, okay.
That's what we like doing around here. We like catching off guard. I love it.
Awesome. Well, Marybelle, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom. I am super excited for what comes from the rest of 2023 from this conversation. I hope that it's been eye-opening for both the listener and a little bit for each of us, too. I think I definitely learned something from this conversation today. So thank you so much for your energy and your time. Ladies, is there anything you want to wrap up with for this episode?
No, it has been great. I got nothing. Sorry. Go ahead, Giselle. Sorry. We talk over each other.
I'm honoring you right now.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm dishonored now. Go ahead.
Love it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Beautiful.
Muchas gracias in Spanish. Nah, we're bilingual exactly here, where, remember?
De nada. But it's been
exactly
a pleasure.
Where I'm going to go. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, y'all. So thanks for listening to the More Than Graphics podcast. We invite you to subscribe and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Send us your feedback on Facebook or Twitter on how our life stories and virtual safe spaces are helping educate, empower, or encourage you. And as always, check out mtgthepodcast.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive behind-the-scenes moments like Clubhouse, happening twice a month at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So until next time, everybody.